Well, sorry for the awkward pause. Been a little awkward this morning. Man, what a great praise set. And then we just kind of
boom.
All right. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I had a Brian Berry video scheduled. So we'll probably catch that later, some other service. So welcome to HBF. I'm a little bit out of kilter now. So, man, I'm glad that you're here this morning. This is our 2026 Vision Conference. If you just stumbled in the door and you're wondering, what in the world are they doing here today? Well, we are focusing our vision. It's God's vision. I like what Ron said in the prayer. You know, God is the one with the vision. He gives us his word, so we can know what it is that his will is for us, and that we are so glad that God gives us a time once a year to come together and focus on really the Great Commission, right? God's given us a Great Commission. He's given us a great commandment to love God and love people, right? All the law is fulfilled in that. And then he's given us a great invitation, right? Everybody is welcome and wanted in the kingdom of God. We got to get out. There's more people actually that would like to be in the kingdom of God than we've actually probably invited. And so a part of what we're going to do this week is just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to these speakers. We're also going to see a lot from the different missionaries and pastors that come in and their examples to us. And we're going to be asking God what it is that he would have us to do. You know, for this year is they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And if you've been around, especially on some of the Wednesday night sessions, I've kind of laid the groundwork for where we're going with this. And it's so imperative that our hearts is moved for the need to get the gospel where it needs to go. And you hear me say this all the time, on time. We're on a schedule and we got to get after it, and we're running out of time, frankly. And so, we don't need a faux, some sort of fake, impetus to do the gospel. We do it because God loved us and we know that he loves the world. And so I pray this week as you, hear the messages, you see the mission trips that are listed up here, that you'd be praying about what it is in your life that God's calling you to do. Some of us can't take mission trips, because we aren't in a position to financially. Some of us, need to learn the Bible a little bit. Maybe we need to get in our discipleship. Some of us need to be obedient in a believer's baptism. Maybe there's someone here today that's not even in Christ. You need to be saved, right? And so there's things that God's going to be calling all of us to do. Some of you maybe, you know, this is old hat. You know what's going on, and God's calling you to go that next level and put yourself on the altar, put yourself in the offering plate and go as a missionary. And so I'm just so glad to have everybody here, and I'm looking forward, to what we're going to hear from, Derek Thomas this week, missionary to Ukraine and other unreached places in the world. He's very seasoned, been in the ministry in Lithuania, been in the ministry in Cass County, been in the ministry in Ukraine and other, locations around the world. And he's, God's going to use him to speak to our hearts. So, Derek and Julie, thank you for coming. I'll let you introduce your own wife, but thank you for coming, Julie. It's a real blessing to have you. They've traveled in to be with us this week, and I'm looking forward to everything that God has from Derek this week. So give Derek a good round of applause and a welcome to HBF as he comes to preach the word to us this morning.
Well, it is a blessing to be with you. Is this on? Am I on here live? My wife, Julie, here. We are, later this year, we'll be celebrating 40 years. So, praise God. For those that don't know, I grew up in the Lee Summit, graduated from Lee Summit High School, and Julie is from the Kansas side, but don't hold that against her, okay? She's a good lady. And we serve as missionaries to the country of Ukraine. Also to Laos. We're going to share about Ukraine tonight. We welcome you back for this evening's services. I know Pastor will be speaking more about that. But please come tonight. We're going to give updates of what God is doing in Ukraine and through this war and how that has expanded the gospel and promoted the gospel in Ukraine and how we've seen souls that have been reached with the gospel through this very difficult time. And also we'll speak about Laos tonight as well, a country in the 1040 window. We're going to mention that a little bit here in our morning message this morning, but a country also communist, restricted access, but God is working in. And so we look forward to being with you this week, sharing about our ministry, sharing from the Word of God. I'm excited to be here and to be with you here in Harrisonville. We used to travel through here all the time. We, growing up in Lee Summit, we would travel down into southern Missouri. Thank you, Pastor. We travel down into southern Missouri where my dad is from in the Ozarks, down in Mountain Grove. So we'd cut through here and 291. And now you got a big supersonic highway out here that just cuts right up there to 470. But what a blessing to be with you, and look forward to getting to know you better and to spending this week with you. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. All right. We're going to begin here kind of as a launching point, but the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to start here in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read a passage just to review. Most of us know this passage and know this wonderful truth in Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. But if you would, stand with me as I read Matthew 28, verse 18, in honor of God's word and the words here of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's all authority, all power comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no higher power. There is no higher authority, but he gives to us his authority to do what? To go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So we have his commission to do what? To go unto all the world. Okay, not a higher authority. This is the highest authority, right? He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. To go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want to speak to you. We call this passage the what? The Great Commission, right? The Great Commission. Why is the Great Commission great? And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning. Why is the Great Commission great? We could say this morning that it's great because of the magnitude of the commission. It's to go into all the world. That's a big place, right? To take the gospel and to go into all the world. We could say because of the order of the commission, it's his last command that he gives to his disciples. It should be our first concern, right? So we could say it's great because of that. Great because of the importance of the commission, right? I mean, is there anything more that glorifies Christ than a soul that is converted to Christ? There's nothing greater that glorifies him more than when one is redeemed by Christ and becomes a child of God. So why is the Great Commission great? I want to share with you four thoughts this morning of why it is. But let's begin with a word of prayer. And you ask God to speak to your heart through the message this morning. Prepare your heart before him. Invite him to speak to you today and open your heart to him and to his truth. Father, we thank you this morning for your wonderful truth and for the privilege to be here this morning at Heartland. Bless us now. As we look into your word, God, give us the grace we need to understand your word, to understand ourselves before the Great Commission. Give us a new and fresh vision of the Great Commission and our purpose in it and our part in it and how it is to be completed through us for the glory of your praise. So bless this time, bless this week, bless this vision conference, we pray, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. Well, as we begin here this morning, looking at some thoughts of why the Great Commission is great. Make sure this is working. There we go. Is that me? Not me? All right, we're getting there. All right, I got a couple of quotes here for you. Are we ready now? There we go. Is this working okay for me? Don't use it. Do what? Okay, okay. So we see a quote right here that missions is not... Missions is not the ministry of choice for a few hyperactive Christians in the church. Missions is the purpose of the church. Would we agree with that this morning? You know, sometimes we think it's for the hyperactive, it's for the very fanatical Christians that missions is about. Listen, missions is for everybody. Every born-again believer is to have a part in the Great Commission. I've said it this way, you're either a goer or you're a sender, right? In the local church, you're either a goer or a sender. There's no in-between a place. A goer are those that are called of God to go to take the gospel into all the world, specific places where God has called them to take the message. senders, they still go locally in their Jerusalems and Judeas, but they are to help send the goers. That's why we call them senders. They help send the goers to go into all the earth. So missions is the ministry of all of us. We're all to be busy about that work. All right, next one here. We see next slide. Should we do it that way or should I click it? Is it okay that way? Okay. And here you read, the average pastor views his church as a local church with a missions program, which he ought to realize, or while he ought to realize that if he is in fact pastoring a church, it is a global church with a missions purpose. We are a global church right here. You're a global church with a missions purpose. You have outreaches today all over the world. People today that were reached through the ministry of your church in all the world today. I know there was someone saved today in Ukraine through your ministry. So you have a global outreach. You have a global purpose to see the gospel spread into all the world. All right, well, let's get to our next slide here. All right, why is the Great Commission great? We want to look at our first point of truth here. And while you're doing that, turn over there to Hebrews 2 and verse number 3. Hebrews 2 and verse number 3. And here the Apostle Paul gives us this thought this morning I believe Paul wrote Hebrews here, but Hebrews chapter 2 or verse number 3, when Paul here speaks about so great a salvation. All right, let me get over here myself. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Is it a great salvation that we have? What about our salvation? I mean, what about what Christ did on the cross of Calvary? You think this morning about the cross and Christ going to the cross. Was there ever a greater act of love than the cross of Jesus Christ? Than him going to that cross and bearing our sin upon that cross, that we might have peace with God? Was the love of God the Father manifest at the cross? Was it demonstrated there for you and for me? There has never been a greater act of love than he who knew no sin to become our sin and to die in our place that we might have peace with God. Man, the love of God was demonstrated there. You think about the humility of God. Was the humility of God demonstrated at the cross of Calvary? Was there ever a greater act of love? Let me ask you this. Was there ever a greater act of humility than the cross of Jesus Christ? For Christ to leave his glory in heaven. I mean, when you go into Isaiah chapter 6 and you read in Isaiah chapter 6 where Isaiah there goes to the throne room and there he is in the throne room and he sees the glory of Jehovah, right? And he hears the angels singing, holy, 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 or saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Who does the Apostle John, in the Gospel of John, whose glory does he tell us that Isaiah saw? He saw the glory of who? Saw the glory of Christ, the glory of Christ. And here he is in the very glory of glories, creator of all, redeemer of all, in his glory in heaven. He leaves that glory to take a human body, to humble himself, to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Was there ever a greater act of humility? Never was. Listen, you and I cannot understand that infinity of that act of him leaving his glory to come to this earth in a human body. For the Creator himself to take the possession of a human body through Mary and to live a perfect sinless life, to die on that cross for you and for me, that we might have life through him. Think about how great salvation. Brother Brian and I were speaking about in the India, and you know, in India, they have 3 million different gods there in Hinduism, right? There's no such God. There's no God that died for them. There's no God that displayed such love or displayed such humility. What about the faithfulness of God that was demonstrated at Calvary? What about his faithfulness, the promises of Isaiah 53 of this one who would come to bear our sins, to take our place, to all our sins and penalty of sin and stain of sin laid upon Him as He, the Lamb of God, died there for you and for me. I mean, think about the faithfulness of God to keep that promise. Think about how can we understand the night before in Gethsemane when Christ is praying there to the Father. Luke tells us of the sweat drops of blood that come to His forehead. He's praying with such intensity to take that cup and to drink that cup, the wrath of God, to bear that wrath on the cross of Calvary. How can you and I understand that statement and His faithfulness to keep that promise? What about the omniscience of God that was shown at Calvary? Is God all-knowing the plan of salvation? I mean, He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Did God know what was going to take place when He created Adam and Eve? Did God know that they were going to fall? Obviously He did, because Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He knew what was going to happen. He had a perfect plan of salvation. Who could ever come up with such a plan of salvation but the omniscience of God to take someone like Derek Thomas, who was born in sin, born in darkness, born in opposition to God, born cursed and under this sin and condemned to eternal death in hell, but yet now through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, saved and transformed and translated into His light, no longer under the curse of sin, no longer under obedience to Satan and his little puppet, but cut free and made a child of God. I mean, this is, no religion has this, okay? This is beyond what man can even hope or conceive even possible to be. But this is our so great salvation that we have. Why is the Great Commission great? Because we have a great salvation. And we should not take our great salvation for granted. We should praise God every day, every moment, for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And by the way, when we get to heaven and when we come into the throne of grace, we will never get tired of praising Him for His redemption. When you see, when we're invited into the throne room of God and we read in Revelation the 24 elders and those in His presence, we see them praising Him for the blood that He shed to redeem us to God. And we will never get tired there of worshiping Him, because we have a great salvation. Well, let's continue on here. Give me my next slide there, and we'll go on here to the next one, all right? A great harvest. A great harvest. Now, you have Matthew 9:38 that's listed there, but let's go over to Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Luke chapter 10 in verse 2, those similar verses from Matthew and over here to Luke. But Luke says it this way in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 2, as Christ here is speaking. We probably, most of you again, would know this verse, but we read here, "Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is what? Great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." We have a great harvest. Now, at the time of Christ, there was somewhere around 300 million people on the earth. All right? Time of Christ, when we read this statement right here in Luke 10, when Christ says that there's a great harvest out there, around 300 million souls on earth. How many are on earth today? Like 8.1 or 2 billion people on earth today, all right? So from 300 million, it was a great harvest, to today, 8.1, 8.2 billion, even a greater harvest, couldn't we say? There is a great harvest of souls. Those 8.1 or 2 billion people, depending on who you read, can be broken up into some 17,000, roughly 500 different people groups or ethnicities, groups, collections of people. If you go to India, you'll find it's just tribal group after tribal group with the different languages and people groups that they have there. Listen, there is a great harvest of souls who've not heard about so great a salvation. By the way, who is that great salvation for? For God so loved who? The world. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ for everyone? It's for everyone. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to be saved. These are Bible verses, right? He wants all to be saved. But yet, how can they be saved? How can they know so great salvation if they've never heard of that salvation? If they've never heard of a God of such a love? If they've never heard of a God who humbled himself in such a way? If they've never heard of his perfect faithfulness to keep his promise? If they've never heard of such a God and the omniscience of the plan of salvation? Give me my next slide right there, ladies, as we continue on down here. I want to share with you about a portion of our world here that we call the 1040 window. If you have that there, 1040 window. But we would see that it's a stretch that goes across northern Africa into the Middle East. There you see it. Over into South Asia, into Southeast Asia. I like this picture a little bit better because it also includes Central Asia up there above. If you look just north of Turkey, you'll see there the Black Sea. Just north of the Black Sea is Ukraine. That's where Ukraine, right on the edge of the 1040 window. But in that window, in that area there, 10 and 40 latitude is how they come up with the 1040 window. That is the majority of our unreached world live in this area, all right? Some would estimate 4.5 to 5 billion people that live in this area, anywhere from 85 to 90% unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the majority of our unreached world are right here in this area. Go ahead and give me the next one right here. Here you see a picture of a portion of the 1040 window we call Central Asia. Okay, that was up there at the north, Central Asia, right across a little bit over from Ukraine, and you see Kazakhstan and the other countries, their stand countries that are there. I just want to give us a view into Central Asia this morning concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is a great harvest, according to Christ, in Central Asia for the gospel of Jesus Christ, but a majority of Central Asia has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, all right? So let's go to our first picture here, and this is the country of Tajikistan. All right, I've been to Tajikistan. I took some of our students from our Bible Institute in Ukraine to Tajikistan. Tajikistan is roughly 10 million people, about 99.5% unreached with the gospel. Did you hear that? You got a country, Tajikistan, there in Central Asia, 99.5% unreached with the gospel. That doesn't mean .5% has believed the gospel. It means 0.5% has the potential to hear the gospel, but 99.5% no potential to hear the gospel. They're going to go from cradle to grave, and they're never once going to hear about so great salvation. Now, how can that be, friends? When Christ is saying, take the gospel, he's given us his authority to take the gospel, the great commission, and to go into all the earth and to preach it to every creature. Right? All right, Tajikistan. Give me the next picture here. The next one here is Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan, roughly 96.4% unreached with the gospel, somewhere around 35 million people, 96.4% have no potential to hear the gospel. This should break our hearts. Give me the next picture here. Turkmenistan. And we had students that came to Kyiv from Turkmenistan, and they were difficult to try to communicate with, but we did try to reach out to them. But Turkmenistan, somewhere around 95% unreached with the gospel. Give me the next one here. This is Kazakhstan. Of the Central Asian countries, this is the most reached with the gospel, but it is somewhere around 75.4% unreached with the gospel. So majority, three-quarters of Kazakh people will never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give me the next one here. This is Kyrgyzstan. They love horses in Kyrgyzstan. And here they are 93.3% unreached with the gospel. So over 9 out of 10 people in Kyrgyzstan will never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give me the next one here. This is Afghanistan. Now listen to this. 142 million people, they estimate 100% unreached with the gospel. Now, I knew a guy in Tajikistan who was taking trips down into Afghanistan with the gospel, believe it or not. They have Bible groups and things down there, but I'm just telling you, majority just unreached with the gospel. Here we're seeing in our world, though Christ has given us this commandment to go into all the world and to preach this great salvation waiting for a great harvest. There is a great harvest in the world. Why are these countries not hearing the gospel? Why is the Church of Jesus Christ, why are we not taking this message? Is Christ commanding us to do something that's impossible for us to do? Is Christ commanding us, would he command us to go into all the world by his authority and to take the message of so great a salvation to all the world? Would he command us to do this if it's impossible for us to do it? Why are we failing at this? Why are we 2,000 years into the Great Commission and we have places like these here in Central Asia that are without the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let me give you another one here. Next picture here of India. And we know that country. Pastors just came from close there in Nepal. Go ahead and give me the next one here. Possibly the greatest, one of the greatest challenges to world evangelism is India. Next photo here. We just give a little picture of India. Roughly 1.42 billion people. One in five people in all the earth live in India. 1.35 billion, roughly 95%. Unreached with the gospel. 2,373 people groups in India, ethnicities you could say. But look at that, 1,869 indigenous languages. It's just all these little tribal groups all over the country that are there. But a country that needs the gospel. When you are there, you hear the calls to the Hindu temples to come and to pray at 5 a.m, whatever time. I never did figure out what system they have for their calls to prayer. Then you'll hear the Islam, you'll hear the Muslim call to prayer a little bit later in the morning, but very few gospel preaching churches. And again, the majority in India will never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a great harvest all around the world today, my friends, for the glory of Christ. There are souls to whom he bled and to whom he died, souls to whom he wants to redeem from their sin to make them alive. He wants them to hear this message, and he has given us the privilege of taking this message. All right, go ahead and give me the next one there, all right? We're moving forward here. There's a great salvation. Why is the Great Commission great? A great salvation, a great harvest. Number three, a great judgment. A great judgment. We won't turn over there, but Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 speaks about the great white throne of judgment, right? When all those will come before God, and if their names are not written in the book of life, if they've never been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, they're going to be cast forever into the lake of fire. In Luke's gospel, we read there where we see Lazarus and the rich man. And do you remember Lazarus dies and he goes to Abraham's bosom? But when the rich man dies, where does he go? He goes into hell, does he? And the Bible speaks about a great gulf that was fixed. There is a great judgment that is falling today, my friends. And it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the what? The judgment. What happens if they die without Christ? Listen, there's no such thing as a purgatory. What's purgatory? Well, that's a made-up, man-made doctrine that when you die, you go to some in-between place, and there you'll have an opportunity to repent. There you'll have an opportunity for your family to either do things or make the payments to the Catholic Church or whatever to purchase you, to get you out of purgatory after you've paid for your sins in purgatory, and they pay some kind of cost up here for your sin. Somehow that will bring you into heaven. My friends, there's no purgatory. And by the way, that's blasphemy teaching that you have to pay for your sins. If you have to pay for your sins, that means what Christ did on the cross was not sufficient to pay for your sin. But my friend, what Christ did on the cross was perfectly sufficient to pay for my sin. Hallelujah. He paid for it in full, in whole. If I had any part of my salvation, I would lose my salvation. But we have a great judgment that's coming. and so many that have never heard the gospel and cannot respond to the gospel. Let me read to you a quote from someone that you might know. His name is Robert Jeffries. You probably heard of him. But he said this, nobody will be sent to hell for a gospel they've never heard. Did you hear what I said? He said, nobody will be sent to hell for a gospel they've never heard. My friends, that's just wrong. No one will be sent to hell for a gospel. That's not what Christ taught, and that's not what the Bible teaches. If you die without Christ, you die lost and in your sin and under God's condemnation. And God has called us to be workmen up on the wall to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world and to warn them of their wicked way. And Christ says, if you go and if you take that gospel, you're freed from their blood. But if you don't go and warn them, their blood is upon you. And my friends, today we have blood upon our hands, do we not? We have those that have never heard the message of Christ, that Christ is commanding us to take the message to. And there's a great wrath, a great thing that is happening. Give me the next slide right here. I love Oswald J. Smith, one of my favorites to read, pastored up in the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, had a burden and a heart for missions. But he said, no one has the right to hear the gospel twice while there is someone who hasn't heard it once. I've heard him say it this way, why should anyone hear the gospel twice until all have heard it once? We have to get the gospel out to everyone. What do we not understand about this? Why are we delaying this? Why are we not involved with this? Why are we not condemned by these statistics this morning? How can we look at a great commission to take the gospel into all the world, and we're looking 2,000 years later after Christ gave that to the church, and some estimate only 30% of our world has heard a true gospel presentation? 30% of our world has heard a true gospel presentation. 40% of our world lives in an unreached area, and it could be slightly more than that, where they'll have no potential to hear the gospel. And how can we be content, church, with those numbers being this way? How can we be so unengaged with the Great Commission that we're not really that concerned, or our hearts not broken, or tears not coming to our eyes this morning as we hear these numbers? Do we not love Christ? What do you think? You're Missourians. I'm a Missourian. I can talk to you straight, all right? How can we be content with these numbers being the way they are? There should be a desire and a burning in our hearts to see the gospel preached into all the world. Look, Christ is coming. What if Christ was to come today? What about if he returned this afternoon before our evening service and he returns and only 30% of the mission was completed? What grade would we get in? I know in Lee Summit, Hazel Grove Elementary School, I know what grade Mrs. Howerton or Dowdy would have given me for a 30% on a test. Now, I don't know, Fort Osage, you guys were a little bit shaky up there, Fort Osage High School. Yeah, they probably passed you anyway, didn't they, up there? That's how Brian graduated, by the way, from high school up there. But I'm just sharing that we're failing. We're not completing what Christ would want us to do. And our hearts should be broken by this. Our hearts should be stirred by this truth. What is God calling me to do? Am I a goer or am I a sender? God, what part do you want our church to have? And what more can we do to see the commission completed for your glory and for your praise? Give me the next quote here, that we have another quote here for you. There you see it right there. But here we read it. That the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. Right? The gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. Boy, it's not good news if it doesn't get there on time. In fact, it's condemning news. Because if you haven't, just as much as it's positive, for all who believe will be saved, it's also negative, all those who have never believed, they're eternally lost. It's only good news if it gets there on time. There is a judgment that is coming. Do we have a burden for that? You know, even since we began our service, roughly 6,392 souls step into eternity every hour. And if the statistics are roughly true, about 70% of those never heard about so great a salvation. Now we had those like here in the Kansas City area where I pastored up in Raymore, and I would have those that would come over from Church of the Resurrection over there in Leawood. We had people that lived in our area, and I would speak to them. And I'm just telling you, the gospel's not being preached there. I spoke to person after person there. They didn't know the gospel. In fact, one guy told me, he said, "Why?" I said, "Well, sir, what does your church teach?" He says, "Well, they teach there's heaven and hell." And I said, "And where are you going, sir?" He said, "Well, I'm going to heaven." I said, "And why will Christ receive you into heaven?" He said, "Well, because I'm doing right. I'm doing it. I'm a good person. I'm not like other people." I said, "Sir, that's not true. That's a lie. According to the words of Christ, it is only by His grace that you can be saved. Works cannot save you. They cannot purge you. You cannot make yourself good enough. You're a sinner condemned before a holy God. Only the blood of Christ can erase that condemnation and give you peace with God, but you must come to Him holy and believe and trust in Him." You know what he told me? He said, "Well, sir, that's your opinion." And he shut the door in my face. Can you imagine? Now, I've had the door shut in my face many a time. And I'm not discouraged by that, but I'm just telling you, that gives you a mindset of what they believe. Friends, we have to get this message out to the world, both here locally, in our community, in our Jerusalem, in our Judea. By the way, I thank you for what you're getting ready to do with the soccer, world soccer that's coming here to Kansas City. I think that's wonderful, getting out to John Romans. If you're not involved with that, get involved with that. What a blessing it is and an honor it is to give those out and to share the gospel with people all over the world. But let's not forget about our own local people here that need to hear this message of Jesus Christ. All right, give me the next picture here. So we're going to go on to our next one. We have a great salvation. Why is the Great Commission great? A great salvation, a great harvest, a great judgment. Lastly, a great door. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 9. And here we read in verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul writes, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." All right? He speaks here, Paul does, of a great door and effectual, which means powerful, energetic. It's engaged in the work. It's a ministry that we're giving ourselves to that's powerful, the door that's open to me of God. It's a great open door from God. Now he says there are many adversaries. There are going to be obstacles. It's not going to be easy taking the gospel into the world. There are going to be many obstacles, but is the opportunity for the glory of Christ not greater? Is the opportunity that's been given to us, this open door before us, is it not just a wonderful gift of the grace of God? Yes, it is. And my friends, you think about this, where we are living in God's prophetic time and calendar, we are living in a wonderful time. I've often thought, you know, I would have loved to have been there when Moody was preaching. I would have loved to have been there when Spurgeon was preaching the great revivals that took place back in R.A. Torrey's day in Australia, all over the world, Billy Sunday here in America, all that. I mean, I look back at some of those times and I think what a wonderful time that would have been to have been alive and to see the gospel going forward and souls being reached and souls being saved. But I'm telling you right now, we live in the perfect time of which God would have us to be here. We have an open door before us. But those open doors don't stay open forever. Right now in Ukraine, and depending on what happens in Ukraine, but we see areas of Ukraine where those doors are closing. Occupied Ukraine, where Russia occupies Ukraine, somewhere around 450, 500 churches, evangelical churches, have been closed in Russian-occupied Ukraine. Pastors, somewhere around 45, I think I read the other day, it's even higher than that now, 50 or so pastors, leaders, have been killed because they don't stop meeting with their churches. The Russians come in and they say, "This is now Russia. If you are a true Russian, you are Russian Orthodox. Your church is a Western church. You're bringing in Western dogma. You are no longer allowed to meet." Well, you can imagine that pastor. He wants to still meet with his people. He's meeting in homes, or they may even try to meet secretly in their building where they met before. And then the Russian government finds out they're meeting. And guess what? Then they punish them. They imprison them. They beat them. And some are even killed for the faith. Well, the door kind of closed. It's hard to go out and do evangelism right now in occupied Ukraine, right? We see this, the doors that are open for periods of time. And my friends, when they're open, we have to go boldly through them to proclaim Christ. We have his authority. Do we have his authority? Do we need anyone else's authority to go into all the world and preach his gospel? Do I need permission from someone else? I've got his permission. That's all I need. And he is commanding me to go into all the world and proclaim his message. Now, there are going to be adversaries. There are going to be difficulties, but I'm just telling you, there is an open door before us. Will we walk through that open door by faith? Paul certainly did. He walked through the open door by faith. Will you and I walk through that open door by faith? God has us here at this time for the glory of his name to take his word into all the world. Right now, I mentioned in Ukraine, we have more open doors right now in Ukraine than ever before in free Ukraine. Occupied Ukraine, doors are closing. Free Ukraine, we have many opportunities. I just had a call with a man who's the director of our charitable foundation. He said, Brother Derek, we have an opportunity to go speak to literally thousands of soldiers with the gospel. Is that an open door? You think those soldiers, and I've had opportunity to speak to soldiers getting ready to go to the front line before, but you think those soldiers want to hear some kind of hope of the gospel? You think they'd be interested to hear about what the Bible says about life after death and so great a salvation? Do you think that might be interesting? Do they hear that message from the Orthodox Church in Ukraine? Absolutely not. The Orthodox Church in Ukraine would be teaching, yeah, God is good and God is love, but you have to earn his favor. You have to keep these religious traditions and you have to keep the law and you have to work your way up to make yourself worthy of God. Can anyone do that? No, but that's what they believe, and that's the Christianity that they believe. Paul calls it another gospel. Well, what a privilege it is. What an open door to bring them the true gospel. And what a miracle of God's grace it is to hear those that hear the true gospel and to see them responding to the true gospel. Do you know I believe this with all my heart? Wherever God has called me, wherever God has taken me, someone has been waiting there to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone has been there and they know that something in their religion is missing. I'm thinking right now of a lady in Lithuania. Pastor, you remember when we were in Lithuania, right, Brother Brian? We, way back in the day, we had been missionaries in Lithuania. Her name was Gina Genovaitė. She grew up Catholic in Lithuania. Lithuania, very Catholic. That's all she knew of God. In fact, if you go to village after village in Lithuania, you'll see the highest point of that village, there'll be a Catholic church with a spear that no matter where you are in the village, you can look up, you can see that Catholic church. Well, that is the representation of God and the gospel in these villages, which is no gospel at all. Because you have to work, you have to keep sacraments, you've got to earn your way to God. Well, that's all she knew. We came into her area near her village, we'd been out knocking on doors. We had laid a gospel tract and an invitation on our door. She started coming to our Bible study. She started asking questions about God and about the Bible and about comparing it to what Catholicism taught with what I was teaching from the Word of God. And I would just say, well, Gina, this is what God's Word says. This is our authority. God's Word is saying this. She kept listening and thinking and considering. And then she got saved. She followed the Lord in believers' baptism. I mean, she became a faithful part of our church there. I was getting ready to come back to the States for a furlough, and she came to me the very last service that I preached, and she said, after the service, she said, Pastor, I have something I want you to do for me. I said, what's that, Gina? She said, when you get back to America, will you thank those churches that sent me a missionary? She said, you tell them, Pastor, thank you for me, that they sent me the missionary and they sent me the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart, there are Ginas all over the world waiting for someone to bring them the truth of so great a salvation that they can hear of God's love, that they can hear of his grace, that they can hear of his redemption through so great a Savior as Jesus Christ. But my friends, what's happening today? So many have never heard. We have open doors before us. We have opportunities to go. I have never had as many open doors before me as I have right now. I don't know if you'd say the same, Brother Brian, but I know in my life, well, there is more work for us to do than I can physically do. There are more open doors before us than ever before to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity. We have a great and open door. We have a, give me the next slide right here that we have. We have an open door. We just came from India earlier this year and getting ready to go back again. That's a group that is down in Hyderabad area. Somewhere, I don't know, 350 or how many, 400 pastors and wives. These men, we did training for them. They're going out all over that region of Hyderabad proclaiming the gospel. But so many have had no training, no teaching, no discipleship. They've heard the gospel and by God's grace responded. There's one woman in there. She's going to Muslim villages taking the gospel. Her husband died and she goes into the village and she's a former Muslim who was transformed by the grace of God to Jesus Christ, taking the gospel and going in to villages. I'm just telling you, open doors. More training. So much more training is needed there. Give me the next one right here. Another group of pastors. We were down in Bangalore. The Kannada language group of people. Taking the gospel, spreading the gospel around Bangalore. What, 13 million people there in Bangalore. Give me the next one right here. This was a group of pastors. That was in Pune. Around 6 million people in the city of Pune. And here are the pastors, the wives, taking the gospel, but little of any training. Helping to promote the gospel through little things that we're able to do with national pastors. I'm going to speak to you more about that later. But what a privilege that is before us. Next picture here that we have, a group where I was allowed to go into a village with the gospel. A pastor shared with me, Brother Brian, his opportunity to do that. And we went to a little village, no church there at all, nothing to present the gospel. These men had been visiting there trying to make contact, and this is not that house, but you can see the Hindu gods up on the wall. But the next village we went to, or the one before this, was a widow woman's home. She invited us in. Her husband had recently died. Here was a group of Hindus just gathered all around you there on the floor as you sat and you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had a little wordless book with me, just using those colors, sharing the story and message of the gospel. And guess what happens when you share the message? Someone responds. Plural, really. There was more than one that responded. Many responded. But I remember this widow woman. She came up to me afterwards. And she said, you know, there's a peace in my heart that I didn't have before. A peace in my heart that I have now. And I've been told, I asked the pastor recently, the national pastor that I work with, I said, how is she? And how? He says, there's a group that's meeting and she's meeting with them that's still continuing to meet. There's a church that's been born in that village. The gospel has gone there. There are open doors all around us. But we are so focused on open doors of business or open doors of a bigger home or open doors of a nicer life or a more affluent life that we're searching for, whatever the things might be. And we're missing the great open door to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live our lives for the purpose that God created us and saved us, and that is for His glory. Listen, I played basketball down in Springfield at Missouri State University and played here in Lee's Summit for Coach Fred Turner back in the day. And I'm just telling you, basketball was my life. I thought basketball would bring contentment. After that, I thought, well, money will bring contentment, satisfaction. I'm just telling you, none of those things satisfied my heart or my soul. I knew the Lord, but I wasn't living for the Lord. I knew the Lord, but He was not reigning supreme in my heart. I knew Him, but I had not surrendered to His plan for my life. And as I look back at my life, the regret that I have, my friends, is this. Not that I surrendered my life to live for Christ, but that I didn't surrender sooner. If I could go back to my days, I would let go of all that happened at Missouri State, all that happened at Lee Summit High School if He didn't want me to play basketball. And I would surrender then when I was a younger man to live my life for His glory, because nothing brings peace or contentment like serving Jesus Christ. Nothing is more satisfying to me than seeing someone that used to bow down to the Hindu gods who now bow down before Christ and worship Him. Is there anything more fulfilling than serving Christ? Is there anything more fulfilling than this morning on my phone, right here in the service, a note from Dima, who pastors the church we started in Kyiv. And he writes in there, Ali, which is a man that we had met years ago, right before the war, I had met him. He's Islam. He's a Muslim. He started coming to church during the war with his mother. He's about probably 30, 35 years old. Dima wrote me this morning, Ali wanted to receive Christ. I mean, is there anything greater than this? My friends, what is our purpose? It's to spread His glory into all the earth. We have an open door before us. We must walk through that door by faith. Now, what is God calling you to do, my friend? What open door is before you this morning? God has a purpose to use you in an individual way and through this local church to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you a goer? You say, well, Brother Derek, who's a goer? A goer is the one who's come before Christ and said, Christ, I don't know what you want with my life. I don't know how you might want to use me, but here is my life for your glory. I lay my life before you. Use me in any way that you will. I give you no restrictions to my life. I give you no conditions. I just lay my life before you. And then God says, okay, I have a place I want you to go. And it's very real in your heart. God will He'll make it plain to you where He wants you to go. And then you will be confirmed through your local church and you can begin serving in whatever way God is calling you to serve to go and take the gospel. But who's a sender? A sender is one who also surrendered to go and said, Lord, I'm willing to go. But God called them to stay because God wants to use them to reach the local community with the gospel and to help the goers to go through your prayers or through your financial gifts that you give. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to give into the ministry of seeing the world reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to pray prayers? We're going to talk about prayer tomorrow night as we look about a group of people called the Moravians and how God used these people to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we have that same spirit of the Moravians in our churches today. And if we did, we would be reaching the world today with the gospel. I invite you back tomorrow night for that. I think you'll find it very, very interesting. But my friend, you have an open door before you tonight or this morning. What will you do with that open door? What is God calling you to do? Is God calling you to go? No greater calling. What was it Spurgeon said? Why stoop to be a king when you can be a missionary? I can think of no greater calling in a man's life than to be called of God to be His ambassador, to take the gospel to such places as India or Laos or Ukraine or wherever the gospel is not, to be His representative, to get the privilege of telling them about His so great salvation for them. And to know that where I take that gospel, I cannot take it to the wrong address, that it's for everyone. Hallelujah. But if He's not calling you to go, maybe there's an open door before you to give. Maybe God's calling you to give in a greater way. We've heard of pastors shared with projects of this pastor in Nepal and others, things that are happening. Can we not help them promote the gospel in their country? Can we not help with buildings or places for them to meet or helping to get Bibles, languages, the Bible translated into languages or John Romans printed or Bibles printed or gospel tracts printed? Can we not help with different programs? We have one in Laos this past Christmas season where we sponsored different villages that held Christmas celebrations. What is Christmas? Why does the West celebrate Christmas? Well, guess what? There was no Santa Claus in our presentation. Our men were sharing about the true purpose of Christmas, the coming of a Redeemer who was born that He may die, to bring peace between you and the one true Creator God who created you, that He may know you, that you may know Him, that you might have peace with Him. What a wonderful thing it was to be able to give unto them and to have these parties, these things, gospel presentations, evangelistic outreaches going on all over. Maybe God's calling you through an open door to give in a greater way. Maybe there's an open door God's calling you to pray in a greater way. to give yourself to prayer. Do you know your missionaries cannot do what God is requiring them to do without your prayers? Your prayers are absolutely essential if your missionary is going to complete the mission and the work that God has called them to. We must have your prayers. And if we're so busy here that we're busy with all the different things and we're called to be a sender, but we're not really praying fervently for our missionaries, I'm just telling you, the work in these countries will not be happening without your prayers. Your prayers bring the hand and power of God. There is a world out there. And let me ask you this one last question. If you were living somewhere in Nepal, or you were living somewhere in the hills north of Vientiane, Laos, up in the mountains there, and you had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you only thought of animism, and you only thought that everything has a spirit, and the rock has a spirit, the Mekong River has a spirit, and these spirits, demons come to me in my dreams, and they tell me of the sacrifices I need to make, and then I go make the sacrifices that I might have the blessing from the spirits. If you lived under such a mindset and such demonic authority and activity, would you not want someone to come to you to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to you? How selfish of us to be content. Well, I have a church. I mean, we have a missions conference. We sing the praises of Christ, and we have a pastor who faithfully teaches us the word of God. I mean, we're good. I mean, I have a home. I'm happy. I'm content. Have a church. I'm all at rest. I'm at peace here. Just put it on cruise control. We're having a good time. Shouldn't it be, my friends, that we look at the world, we see the glory of Christ. We look and we say, you know what? We've got to get the gospel to these people. These are souls to whom Christ died, and there's an open door, effectual before us. Let us step through it by faith. But whatever God is calling you to do this morning, my friend, it's a decision you must make from your heart to step forward by faith. But it begins with a complete surrender to Christ. What is your will and my calling concerning the great commission of Jesus Christ? And maybe you're here today. Pastor shared earlier, maybe you're not in Christ. Maybe you've never received Christ. Maybe you are under condemnation from your sin. I invite you today, my friend, Christ died for you. He's knocking on the door of your heart. If you will open that door, he promises, I will come in to you and sup with you and you with me. He will give you peace. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to save you and give your life a purpose. Come today to Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for the great commission that you have given to us. Help us to live for the purpose of this great commission, to see it fulfilled through our lives and through this local church for the glory of your praise. Thank you for so great a commission, and thank you for the privilege you give to us to participate in it. Bless this time, we pray, in our hearts and in our lives. May you be magnified and glorified in each heart, we pray. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, let's just stand together in an attitude of prayer as we have heard the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we continue in an attitude of prayer and really a solemn moment where we have heard, not from Derek Thomas, Lord, we have heard from you. As I was listening, Lord, I was hearing the words of Christ, the call of Christ, the heart of Christ, things that bring tears to our heart. And Lord, as we concluded on this great open door, there was a great door and effectual that's open. And Lord, I pray, God, that there is a heart that's open. Lord, a church that is willing to hear the word of God and to respond. Lord, for such a time as this, you brought us to this place to gather as one man. Our kids are being watched. We don't have to worry about that. All we have to worry about is what you said to us. And Heavenly Father, if there's a man or a woman under the sound of my voice right now that they are in jeopardy, Lord, they do not know the assurance of eternal life. They don't really have that assurance in their heart. As our brother said, Lord, they're under condemnation because of sin. Lord, thank you, Lord, for revealing that to them. Now, Lord, I pray, God, they could take the next step and receive salvation through the grace of God, through the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is the first order of business. You are so important, we'll stop everything. God is calling you. He's calling you to salvation. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice that's bold enough? And God is talking to me about that this morning. I want to be saved. Right there where you are, just with the strength that you have, just raise your hand in the air. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? I know it takes some boldness. If you feel like, man, my arm weighs 1,000 pounds, I can't lift it. Hey, by faith, just lift it in the air. We're going to come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. Everyone's praying. Anyone at all? Would you make that decision today? That is the greatest decision in your life in eternity. If you're convicted now, you know that, man, I should be responding to that. That's not me. That's not persuasive words. That's what's called the conviction of the Spirit of God. And God is calling you to himself. He loves you and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. So answer that call. Grab me, grab somebody who cares about you, that knows the gospel. Brother Derek, one of us. We will open the Bible and share with you how you can know that you have eternal life through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. How about you, church? We got an altar up here. If there's a time to come to an altar, today is the day. I bet some are being called by God to do many things. Maybe you need to come and just lay your life down or let go of some sin and let God have control. Because the doors that are closed are not because God's closed them, it's because we're closing them on him. And he's standing there knocking, saying, hey, are you willing? Are you willing to let go and allow me to be who I need to be so I can accomplish this great mission? What a great message we've heard on the Great Commission. Man, I'm convicted over the things that we've heard. There's a great salvation, a great harvest, an even greater harvest today than any time before, a great judgment and a great door. If you're moved, move. Allow God to move. Don't wait. If you need to lay something down, lay it down. If you need to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Allow him to do that work in your life. Heavenly Father, we've heard from you today. We've heard a word from the Lord. Lord, we are so thankful for your word that speaks to us. Thank you for sending your messenger. More than hearing a message, Lord, we heard you. Lord, we heard your voice from the pages of scripture, your heart. True that you have given your son for the world, Father. Lord, you loved the world. You called all, Lord, to salvation. You want us to take the gospel. There's no reason not to. We have all authority. We've been given all things to teach all nations. Lord, to God, we'd be faithful to that mission. Lord, stir up our hearts, Lord. Stir up our hearts in your word today. Thank you, Lord, so much for the clarity, the compassion, the conviction that we have received this morning. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would not let it go to waste, that we wouldn't just sit on our haunches, Lord, that we wouldn't just wait for someone else. But Lord, let us be about your business. Let us be willing to take that next step and do that thing that you're calling us to do so we can get the gospel where it needs to go on time, whether it's giving financially, giving our life, going on a missions trip, getting involved in discipleship and engaging our life fully in the Great Commission. Lord, whatever it is, being involved in the ministries that you've called us to, being willing to go. There are some here that just literally could fulfill this mission. There's no authority that they're waiting on other than you, them just submitting to you and going. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you would just continue to work on our hearts. Thank you for the examples of that we're going to see this week. These that are gathered, these missionaries that are going, these like S.C. Doug and Bethany, Lord, who are also living epistles in our midst, people who have surrendered, people we support. Lord, we're all in this together. We're so thankful, Lord, for you allowing us to be a part of your great commission. And Lord, that starts with such a great salvation, so great a salvation. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our salvation. Thank you for our Savior, and thank you for sending us. I pray, God, we'll be faithful with that mission. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Man, I'm telling you, I don't want to go on and on, but I do. It's hard not to want to preach after you hear a preacher like that. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. That was a word from the Lord. I appreciate him being full of the Spirit of God and just sharing us, you know, what God would have us to hear today. And I pray that if you're convicted about certain points in that message, or in some places, like, I'll be frank with you, I'm contemplating certain things in that message. What does that mean? How do I need to act on that? Don't do that. Don't just let all the busyness of the day just wash that away. You need to stop and make time in your life to get with God and continue to work out what God is doing in your heart. I'm trusting this week that this is a moment for our church. I mean, the things that he said is not just hyperbole. It's not just to jack us up and get us excited. It's the reality. Like, time is short. The opportunities are great. Yeah, we're weak, but you know what? That's never stopped Jesus in the past. As a matter of fact, the weaker we are, the more profoundly powerful he is. And, he is able to, we can always make excuses, but we shouldn't. And so, let's not make excuses. Amen. And so, we were going to have a video earlier about, I was going to show Brian Berry. We don't have time for it this morning, but we'll see that later. But one of the things in that was VBS. And so, I see Chris Cohen sitting back here. We're planning VBS. There's practical things that we could be doing, to get the gospel where it needs to go. So let's be thinking about those things this week, things that we can do right where we're at. We're going to try to put things within reach, whether it's praying, whether it's ministry, right? Things that there's some of you can. You can get in an airplane and you can go pioneer missions work somewhere. But others of you, maybe the first step is just, let's be involved in VBS, right? Or let's just give in the offering as the plate goes by here in just a minute. So let's pray over the offering. We got a few more orders of business we need to deal with the conference this morning before we're ready to conclude. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to give back to you. We pray a blessing on the offering today. I pray for those that are guests. Maybe they didn't raise their hand or they did raise their hand. And we're thankful they came this morning. We pray as the offering plate goes by that they would be gracious enough to submit a little information to us about who they are so we can reach out and say thank you to them. Lord, for those of us that are members here, Lord, as we get back to you, Lord, we pray, God, that those financial offerings, Lord, would multiply and be magnified for the kingdom of God. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you've given us. And these first fruits, Lord, we pray, God, would just bring honor and glory to your name. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you'll see here on the platform, on the altar, we have mission trips lined up. There's a QR code. There's also in your booklet. Make sure you look through your booklet. Don't lose these booklets. We're going to be using those all week. Brother Derek, I filled up both sides of my notebooks on your message. I like to keep these, refer to them. But also there's information about where we're going. So make sure that you orient yourself in these booklets. You'll notice the next session is Michael Coleman. So he'll be coming up tonight along with Derek and Julie. You'll be hearing more from them at the dinner tonight. So we invite you all back for that. You'll be hearing a little bit more about that at the end with Pastor Steve. But there's also these opportunities to get involved in missions trips. There's QR codes in the back of your booklet where you can hit that, or you can come up here old school, sign up, let us know if you're praying about it, if you're interested in it. When you talk about open doors, there's a lot of open doors if you just look across this altar. I mean, a lot of them. We won't go through all of them. Why? Because we gotta have troops. And I recognize in a church this size, we may not be able to fill all these opportunities. That's okay. Let's fill the ones we can. All right? Let's go where God's moving. And we're trusting that God's moving in the body. And so, make sure that you're involved in going. Some of you probably need to stretch a little bit. And, I don't mean your legs, but you're kind of comfy. You're doing this, you're doing that. You're comfortable going door to door, but you haven't put any scripture together. You're comfortable putting scripture together, but you don't want to take it out, right? So some of us, we need to consider getting out of our comfort zone, right, and going all in on these things. So I want to invite one of the other opportunities that we're going to have, as Derek mentioned, was the opportunity to go to the community for World Cup and reach the world as it comes to us. So I want to invite Pat Lee's going to come up and share with you an opportunity that we have to go to the world and give you some actually hands-on information so that we can engage in the World Cup as the world is coming to us.
Man, that was fresh, wasn't it? It was a fresh look at the Great Commission. Thank you, Derek. That was really good. So I want to ask you, in light of everything that Derek just said and Brian just said, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever thought about becoming a missionary or ever wanted to travel, you know, the world and go on a mission trip maybe? But you looked at your bank account and it said, I think I'll just sit down here on the couch in front of the TV and I think I'll pray about it. How many of you have ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand. I mean, I know I have. You know, it's a big ask, right? Sometimes there's a lot of things to consider. But I love what you just said, Derek. In light of all that, we have such a great salvation, you know. And the good news, and not only good news, it's the great news, right, that we have now is God just booked a trip for the nations to come to Kansas City, and it won't cost us a single dime, right? They're coming here. The nations are assembling across our nation, over 6 million people, and they're coming right here to KC for the 2026 FIFA World Cup of football. It's going to be the largest sporting event ever of all time, with the greatest player of all time, Lionel Messi, for Argentina. And Argentina is kicking off the first game right here in KC. And they're having their base camp set up right here in KC also. So that's really huge because people follow him like, you know, a Greek god. I mean, in the world of soccer, I mean, people will come in for all over just to see him and watch Argentina play. So in just a few short weeks, from June 12th to July 13th, the world is coming to our doorstep, not metaphorically, but literally. Literally, nations and languages and cultures and people. And for many of us, when we hear the command of Christ to go, like in the Great Commission, like we just heard, you know, that mission that we're all called to, go ye into all the world, we think, I can't go there. It's impossible, right? But what if I told you now God is bringing the world to you and he's calling you to go to the world because now he's brought the world to us. And all we have to do is go 30 minutes up the road, right? I mean, it's amazing. This is no accident. It's no coincidence, but this can only be defined as the greatest divine appointment ever. And when God calls us, we must go, right? Even if we can't see how all of it's going to work out. And as we hear God calling us, maybe this week, and see his miraculous plan for all of this unfolding right before us, this can only be defined for us, and Brian said it, such a time as this. You know, as I was thinking about this and preparing this, it's like this verse came to me. It's like Jesus was speaking directly to me. I could see speaking directly to us, like he spoke to his disciples in Mark 10:27, and he said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible, right? He's like speaking to us personally. With men it is impossible, but not with me. With me, all things are possible. In church, what seemed impossible is now standing right in front of us and it's knocking on the door. And God has already gone before us. He's brought all the nations right here. He's provided the tools of 30,000 Romans with multi-languages, QR codes and connections inside. And he's given us translators, technology, teams, and most importantly, he has promised us the power of his presence that will go before us and be with us. So why should we fear? You know, and we look at the end of that Great Commission, like Derek pointed out this morning. Here's what he says. It's like he's speaking directly to us. Lo, it's like, look, I am with you always, right? That word, that eternal word, like we can only find in the King James language. I will be with you always, anywhere, anytime, any place, anywhere you go, anything you say, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. So here we see God flipping the world upside down for us. And he's turning the Great Commission inside out by bringing the world, even the ends of it, to us. So here's the question. And Ryan asked it, Derek asked it, and you'll probably hear it all week. And I want you to meditate on this and think about it. Will we go? And more importantly, now that the world is almost here, less than 60 days away from us from today, right now, will you go? And will I go? And will we go together? That's the question. Because behind me, as you'll see on the screen, there are 11 outreach opportunities of real moments with real people, real souls, and real opportunities to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this isn't about filling a slot in a schedule or checking off the box. This is about stepping into a miracle. And this is about being a part of a story that only God could write. So some of us may not be able to go across the ocean, but every single one of us can step into this mission field right here, right? And I believe with all my heart, as we see missionaries coming in this morning and this week to give us a fresh vision like we heard this morning, and God is calling every one of us to be a part of this. So here's the invitation. Go to the HBF website and you can sign up for one of these events or two of these events or as many of the events of the 11 that God puts on your heart. And we're assembling teams together, right now. We have been already. So let's not just talk about the Great Commission. Let's live it, right? Let's believe God for something so much bigger than ourselves. Let's watch him turn the impossible into the possible. And when it's all said and done, maybe when we're, like Derek said earlier, maybe when we're all sitting around the throne together worshiping the Lord, you know, we'll be able to say, we were there when the Lord of the harvest brought the world to Kansas City. We were there. So here's the challenge that Brian laid down on Wednesday night for us, and again this morning, and Derek did also. This week as we come in, let's allow the Lord to change our hearts, okay? So that we can go out together as one man, one body, to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me close with this one last thought. What we're expecting in this outreach is nothing short than a miracle of epic proportions. So let me just say, when we answer God's call, we can expect God's power. When we expect a miracle, we won't be surprised when he shows up and does only what he can do. Okay? Amen, church? All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat. So two timely announcements. One, probably all of us seen that there's some hanging flowers as we came in the door. Those are kind of examples. The youth group is trying to raise some funds just to lower the cost of each person going to camp. So if you would and you'd like to purchase those flowers, I think there's a QR code out there and you can order them. And I think it'll be today and next week will be the times. And so, the dates are the 28th through the July 3rd are the, is the youth camp, but they're trying to reduce the price. So if you are interested in some nice flowers, pick one, get your QR code, order them, and, there'll be some next week as well. So, the other timely announcement is right after service, we're going to pick up all these chairs and we're going to put out tables for tonight's dinner. So, if you're able to, I think since the it's all decorated over there, I think we'll just leave all the chairs in here. So, if you can remember this number 7, we need a chair stack 7 high, and we're going to have 7 rows of tables. There's going to be 3 in this section, 2 there and 2 there. So there'll be 7 rows of tables in here. And then we'll be putting most of the chairs around those tables, but the ones that we don't fit, we're going to put against the walls. So we'll probably line the walls with some chairs so we don't clutter the hallway. So with that, that's all the announcements I had. And Brian has one more order of business, and then we'll conclude.
Tag team. All right. So we won't take long, but we need to do one more order of business this morning. We had new member presentation. We had some baptisms last week, so on Easter. So Ruth Borntrigger is our newest member. I don't know if she's in the house, but oh, the Filers are here. Hey, I see Alicia. Hey, how's it going? Come on up here, Ruth. She's like all shy. And we have Dylan Bridges. Is Dylan in the house? He's out. He's what? Yeah, he never has liked us. No, he's not here. Caleb Graham. Caleb, come on up here. And Ruth might be a little young for this, but we're giving it to Mom. So that's her certificate. Hey, Caleb, what we have in here is a New Testament with a little plan of salvation so you could share the gospel with those that you love and know. There's also a certificate, but also there's a picture of your baptism. So it's good to have you in the body of Christ, man. Thank you. And stay up here, buddy. And Ruth, you're a little shy, but we also have a couple others that'll be coming up at the next baptism, so I'm not going to mention those. We had a couple other baptisms. If you're wondering, the Webbs went on their honeymoon, so praise the Lord. How's that? Get married, get saved, get baptized, and go on your honeymoon. I mean, praise God. That's awesome. So we praise the Lord. All right. Well, has it been a good morning? Yeah. Make sure you say greetings to shy little Ruth. And our brother over here, Caleb, and thank you so much for following the Lord, Caleb, and being part of it. Man, this guy's a whirlwind too. Got saved and got baptized like that. So we praise the Lord for what he's doing in your life. Make sure you make yourself friendly. Let them know they're welcome and wanted. And, hey, Dylan Hatfield, come on up here. And, you're going to hear from Michael Coleman tonight, but Dylan's going to be here. Appreciate you being here this morning. Missionary to Chile. Could you just close us in a word of prayer and dismiss us? If y'all stand up, Dylan here is going to close us out. You'll be seeing him later this week. Oh, yeah. If you're all in favor of these being members of Heartland, just say a hearty amen. All right. There you go.
All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for, Lord, the message that you brought to us. Lord, the message, Lord, of this call that we have to go and to share the gospel with the nations. I pray, Lord, that we would be burdened this week with this message. I pray that we would catch the vision and that we would run with it, Lord. May you get the glory through this conference, and we lift these things up to you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.